We have as our guest this morning, as we always do on Wednesday, and it's Mike McCabe. Sorry, we're not at Short Stack and the wonderful ambiance of being at that cafe.
I miss the crowd.
Yeah, I just love it there. It's fantastic.
And the clanking of silverware against plates. Yeah,
stuff moving around in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, the city is alive and well, right? We're going to talk about some very interesting parts of your first book, right, Blue Jean Nation, where you mentioned something about vertical thinking. And by the way, this is a suggestion from Rocker. Now, you know Rocker well, and he said, he has this great thing about vertical thinking. You really have to ask him about it the next time he's in. And so, I paged through it, and I looked through it, and it is interesting. I think we can kind of relate it to what you were talking about recently in your Short Stack blog.
Substack blog.
Substack, rather.
Short Stack's the place we should be. There.
I know. I'm mixing it all up now. In your Substack blog, you were bringing up something about the progress that Wisconsin is well known for, and a lot of it is, or at least being attempted, to be taken down a little bit, or repealed.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into that a little bit, because I know the vertical thinking thing, we can relate that in regards to this.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at what you were discussing on Substack.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, I just wanted to give
the progress that Wisconsin has made.
Yeah, I just wanted to give people a reminder that Wisconsin had a long-standing tradition of leading the nation on public policy making on all kinds of different issues. First state in the nation to create kindergartens, first state in the nation to create a vocational, technical, and adult education system, first state in the nation to create an unemployment insurance program, first state in the nation to create a system for compensating workers injured in the workplace. Over and over and over again, Wisconsin led the way. Social Security was invented here at the University of Wisconsin, and then it was taken national. So Social Security has its roots in Wisconsin. First state to pass a statewide gay rights law. Over and over and over again, Wisconsin pioneered on issues of concern to people in this country. And other states copied us. It's really been about 40 years since Wisconsin innovated in that way.
Yeah,
we kind of lost our way.
I got to tell you, I'm a little breathless from what you just said. That is amazing that we led the way in all those really important parts of our lives. It almost makes you think that the Republicans aren't aware of any of that, our history, how we came about putting this in place, and we should be proud of what we did.
We should be proud of what we did, but I would say that the Republicans are acutely aware of that history because they've got a 900-page blueprint to dismantle it all.
Yeah, that's brand new.
And one of the things that bothers me at this particular moment, John, is that the Democrats, for quite a while now, maybe 40 years, have been playing defense. The Republicans have a very detailed agenda of all the things they want to do. And a lot of it is just dismantling things that served people well. Where's the 900-page agenda for the Democrats? Where's the 90-page agenda for the Democrats? If they can't come up with 900, where's 90? And we've sort of lost that pioneering spirit in Wisconsin. And here the Republicans are holding their national convention in Milwaukee. Milwaukee had its glory days under a string of socialist mayors. And they were known as sewer socialists because they brought sewers to the city. They brought sanitation.
Wow.
They brought clean water to the cities. But they didn't just build sewers.
Mm-hmm.
They built a system of local parks. Public parks that were the envy of the nation. They built a system of public libraries. So they met the needs at the time that people had. And people didn't care that they called themselves socialists. They wanted progress. And that does bring me to that whole idea of vertical rather than horizontal thinking. We've been trained, we've been programmed to think about politics horizontally, from left to right,
Right.
And we put people on that spectrum. You're on the left. You're on the right. You're in the middle. And we've been programmed to think horizontally about politics. And what that does is it makes people on one end of the spectrum see the people on the other end of the spectrum as the enemy. A really magical thing happens if you flip that spectrum up on its head and think vertically instead.
Right.
Don't think about who's on the left and who's on the right, but think about who's on the top and who's on the bottom. And what happens then is people who might think of themselves as liberal and another person who might see himself as conservative actually are exactly on the same spot of a vertical spectrum.
They are. Yeah.
You got people, and I'm not just talking about people on top having the most money. But
right.
I am talking economically, but I'm also talking about political power. Who's got the most power? Who has the least? Who's got the loudest voice? Whose voice is muffled or can't be heard at all?
Mm-hmm.
Who does end up with being the best off, and who's the worst off, and who's really struggling? And there you've got people, some of whom might identify as Republicans, some of whom might identify as Democrats. They're right there at the same spot. They got so much more in common than we've been programmed to believe they do, because we keep thinking horizontally. We keep thinking about
right,
who's on the left and who's on the right,
right,
instead of thinking from top to bottom. And that's just the way we've been conditioned to think. Well, if we break free of that and think a little bit more creatively. I think a lot of what we face in this country right now, we're facing multiple national emergencies on so many different fronts. And people are afraid because emergencies are scary.
Yes.
And they want something done. And if the only agenda for action is to basically dismantle the federal government and completely reshape it, that is preferable to an awful lot of people to doing nothing, to just staying the same.
Yes.
We can't have a status quo party at a moment when the status quo is crumbling and breaking apart.
And being dismantled.
Yep.
And that's what we're seeing, especially, I think, when it comes to healthcare. I always bring up healthcare as a great example of the problem that we have, and that is healthcare. Changing it is what people fear. They hate the system they have now. They're just putting up with it, but they're familiar with it. If we changed it and we had a universal healthcare coverage problem or a system in this country, they're worried that something might be there that they didn't know would happen. They're worried and they don't want to change it. They're afraid of that kind of change. And if you just add to it some fear factors that the cult is doing right now, the MAGAs are doing right now in regards to, perhaps withdrawing some kind of care or rationing. They're always worried about that. And the MAGAs and the right wing does bring that up often in order to put that fear in people. If we change, they're going to ration health care, even though we self-ration constantly. We all self-ration. We do not see the doctor when we should. We try not to see the doctor because we can't afford it, and we don't have the money to pay for that visit. So it's constantly at odds with the better way of doing things and getting health care. So, you know, it's one of the great fears.
Oh, yeah. And you know, it's unfortunate that the Democratic Party, being so afraid of being labeled socialist,
yes,
not realizing that Milwaukee grew dramatically under socialist leadership, the city was at its best in its glory days under socialist mayors. But now the Democratic Party is afraid of being labeled socialist, so they are afraid of an ambitious approach to healthcare, like a national health insurance program. But hell, not only do people struggle to have health insurance coverage, but in small towns and small cities in our state,
yes,
they're even losing their hospitals.
They are.
They have no place to go if they do have coverage to get health care.
And there's money to fund them or at least help them survive, and that money has not been released.
Yeah.
The Republicans refused to release
the bigger solution, of course,
right,
would be raising Medicaid and Medicare reimbursement rates so that hospitals that take those patients can actually do so without going broke.
Right.
And you know, there's this concern about spending money on healthcare, and so people go without medical care. Well, can you blame somebody who doesn't have a hospital to go to when they're facing a medical emergency, thinking, I just want to blow the system up. Mm-hmm. I just want something dramatic to change, because I can't, housing is another huge problem. I can't make rent. I'm a low wage worker and I have a hard time paying rent. I'd like to be a homeowner. How will I ever be able to afford a house at the prices today? And then where do I go when I'm sick if there's no hospital in my local community? That's what a disturbing percentage of the population is facing.
Right.
When those conditions exist, my goodness, that's where you need leaders like Milwaukee used to have, who say, you know, we're not going to have contaminated water. We're going to build sewer systems, and we're going to build water treatment plants, and we're going to make sure that people don't get sick when they drink the water that comes out of the faucet. And today we face similar crises. Mm. And the only party with an ambitious agenda seems to be the party that wants to dismantle
That's
everything.
That's right. Well, you know, you bring up an interesting point about the socialist in Milwaukee. Let's say the Democrats decided to play up that history, be proud of it.
Right.
Be proud of what they were able to accomplish in Milwaukee, or even in the state for that matter, as socialists. So is it such a bad thing to have? I mean, we all have become used to having that kind of system in place. Now there's talk about dismantling that system because we don't really need it. And it's always tax cuts that are promoted and less spending for the public. And it's weird because we spend our money, we are taxed that money, and all they do is they hold it someplace and then they give a tax cut and the wealthy people get the money back.
Right.
And we don't get the benefits of paying our taxes.
Right.
We're paying taxes. We should get the benefits. It should be spent on us.
Right.
That's what it's all about, isn't it? And we should, I really think we should play up the socialist angle. What happened when we were socialists in Milwaukee and in this state, and how we progressed and all of the benefits that we have, and now they're being threatened.
And that word has been demonized.
Yeah, demonized.
And the socialist has been turned into a boogeyman. But the socialist mayors that Milwaukee had were practical leaders.
Yes.
They just wanted to solve problems, and they wanted to make life better for people, and they did. Mm-hmm. You know, people were drinking contaminated water. The drinking water was blended with the sewage. And people were sick.
Yeah.
And so they said, let's build sewer systems and let's build water treatment plants so that the water that people drink is actually clean and won't make them sick. And let's build public parks so people have a place to recreate. And let's build public libraries so people who can find books that maybe they can't afford one in a bookstore, but they can go find one at a public library and expand their horizons that way. They were very practical leaders, and they grew Milwaukee. Milwaukee grew explosively and has really been in decline since the era of socialist mayors went away.
Man, you just summed it up. I mean, you should just write the platform, the frame. The frame is very important, and you just came up with the frame. That's how it should be framed. That's the offensive that we should be on at this point. We've got Mike McCabe in the studio. ABN House is his Substack blog, and we'll be right back with more on the John and Gordy Family Show. WMDX, the John and Gordy Show. Gordy's out sick today. And we're taking your calls as well. Mike McCabe is our guest right now, and we have some callers who might have a few comments about what we've been discussing here, and that is to take the more progressive approach to things or the more socialist approach, where a lot of things got done in the state that we should be very proud of. Nationwide, we should be proud of it. And if we just played it up a little bit, maybe people would be more convinced about keeping some of the stuff we've already put in place. So let's go to the phone lines here. Mark first on the John and Gordy Family Show. Mark, what do you got?
Yeah, something that popped in my head, but Paul Weyrich back in the 70s was complaining about too many people voting, and he was complaining about too many people believing in good government. And the whole purpose of government is supposed to be good government, to provide for the people. I mean, even going back to the Declaration, which some of these Republicans, they like to mold some of the words up, but they don't seem to understand is that one of our beefs against the British government at that point in time was not providing services for the American people who are paying their taxes, and but that's not getting laws passed to for the good of the people. And the laws for pollution prevention and for clean water and for providing health care are all good for the people, and Republicans want to completely strip that all away and live in a Hobbesian world of tooth and claw and just everybody against each other rather than together as a society where we actually live up to Matthew 25, we're actually supposed to take care of one another.
Right, exactly. And again, I've mentioned this before, I think tax cuts take money out of the general fund. Spending on the public also takes money out of the general fund. Pick which one you think you can benefit from. All right, Mark, I appreciate your call. Let's go to Kurt now on the other line. Thanks for calling in the family show. What do you got, Kurt?
Good morning. I think you're missing a key component to the breakdown. If you look back, I was born in the 60s. Kennedy, and I'm not as good as Mark at quoting things, but Kennedy basically messages, what can you do for the government, not the other way around. Then Reagan came along and said, the government is the problem, and we need to reverse that. And then things were kept in checks and balances, because back then we actually had a news force that was accurate and fair. And now the Republicans, for the longest time, are dismantling classes in high schools and grade schools, civics as an example, and you have a growing mass of people that are no longer have critical thinking skills. And it doesn't take much to get enough people in the fear mode or hate mode or I don't care mode to want to jump into something that's utterly ridiculous that will do harm to the masses. And in the news, in Wisconsin, 50-year-old people and above think that Biden is going to take away their Social Security and Medicare. I mean, if you don't have a voting base that's capable of critical thinking and rational thinking, you can try to do everything you possibly can. It's not going to change it. So the root cause, as far as I'm concerned, are the people pulling the levers, the voters. Mm-hmm. How are you going to change that mechanism?
That's a very good question, Kurt. What do you think, Mike?
Well, as I mentioned before, Wisconsin created the first kindergartens in the country and the first system of vocational, technical, and adult education in the entire country. Civic education was an invention of people with foresight, mm-hmm. who realized that if we're going to govern ourselves in a democracy, we have to be educated. And we have to understand the workings of government. Well, civic education has been more or less dismantled. Mm-hmm. It's not
well, they require
treated seriously.
Civic test in order to get out of school.
Yeah, but there is virtually no civic education compared to what we used to have.
Yes.
There's
yes.
been so much emphasis on math and science and civic instruction has just been sort of pushed to the side. Mm-hmm. Well, there were people with great foresight many years ago, generations ago, who said, we've got to have a robust system of civic education, and we have to have a free press. a diverse free press so that there's information for the people to make good decisions when they go to the ballot box. If we're going to govern ourselves into democracy, we have to have that. And there's been a decades now of attacks on those systems. Well, now we have to reinvent these things, and we have to talk ambitiously about what we need to build, as people did generations ago. And they convinced the American people that these were vitally important things, and they were put in place in places like Wisconsin, and then other states looked at Wisconsin and said, let's do that, because that state has right. it together. That state's going places. Let's do that. And Wisconsin's lost that pioneering spirit. So the caller's right. There are many dimensions to the problem, many emergencies that need attention. But we currently have political leadership that's sort of saying, well, let's keep things constant. Let's just keep things the way they are. And then you've got another political force in this country that's saying, no, let's just dismantle it all.
Yeah.
Let's just tear it all down.
Yeah.
And that resonates with a lot of people who are frustrated, who can't make enough money to make rent. They don't even have a hospital to go to when they get sick. They're living in unacceptable conditions as far as they're concerned. And if the option is staying put or blowing stuff up and dismantling things, they'll take the dismantling.
Right. Try something different.
Yep.
And that's what it's always been about.
Yep.
I think at the same time, we have so many media sources now. And I think maybe everybody is being inundated to the point where they're just checking out.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a party that's saying they're all fake news.
Mm-hmm.
So you have too much information. People check out because too much information is out there. And then another source is saying it's all fake news anyway. Why pay attention? So they're just listening to what people say to them. They're not looking into the facts or yep. what's behind it. And no one ever expected to have a party that just lied, just purely lies and makes it sound like the truth.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think the founding fathers even imagined something like that happening.
Yeah, well, propagandists are on the march, and when facts are shared, they say those are fake. And then they lie through their teeth and claim that it's the solemn truth. That calls for robust education.
Absolutely.
So that people can see through that.
Well, I hope we can help people out a little bit here on the program. Mike McCabe, thanks for joining us. Abion House on Substack, not Short Stack. And I appreciate you being here this morning.
Oh.
Thanks for joining us, the John and Gordy Family Show. We'll be back again tomorrow.